Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. My name is Lawrence Strink, a.k.a. Sparky Lee, founder and CEO of Legacy Programs Education Reentry. So today, I really don't have a guest. It's a story of my life, right? But what I do want to do is take a moment of silence for all those incarcerated and for the families of the incarcerated, and just to really think about them right now. So, you know, it's very important. Right now we're working on new projects and stuff like that. It's not easy, you know, trying to figure this stuff out. How do we successfully reentry? How do we actually get our men and women not just free physically but free mentally? It's very complex, and it's not popular. In fact I was just talking to a buddy of mine from my church, and you know, there's a reentry really goes unheard of and neglected. It's once again complex. You're talking about a lot of, you know, majority of the people that go into the prison system are not well-educated, for one. And then when they are educated, they come out with a prison education, which is very valuable, but in a lot of times inadequate. And the thing about reentry is that it's not one-dimensional. There's different sides of it. And when you got mental health issues going in and they're not properly addressed, you're coming out with the mental health issues as well, with the monkey on your back that you were incarcerated with and being institutionalized. And I think that's one of the things that makes Legacy different, is we actually address those childhood traumas, byproduct versus product. And what that is that it's just root causes. As adults, we bring a lot of our triggers and insecurities into our adulthood, and we act out very childishly at times. So, you know, we have to address those issues so we're properly mature, not just, you know, physically we are, but not mentally. I've told people many times, I feel like I'm 16 years old, and a lot comes from the institution being institutionalized, and they call it arrested development. And, you know, that's why we have to start looking at not so much what crime was committed, but why the crime was committed. It all depends on, you know, what are we into? You know, are we into fixing the system? Are we into just putting a Band-Aid over it? Are we into just sticking our head in the sand? And those are things we're addressing, you know, is how do we meet a fair middle? How do we make society feel where they want to accept these men and women? And how do we make the men and women want to be part of the community and part of the solution? You know, how do we empower them? And at Legacy Programs, we don't want to sit there and be your voice. We want to be able to give you your self-esteem, your dignity, your humanity back so you have your own voice. We're not going to sit there. I've never counseled people and told them what's wrong with them. It's always been an inside-out job where let's find the solution together. But when we find it together, I'm just helping out. I'm just assisting you. And that's how I address any counseling. And, of course, it's CBT, DBT, and everything else that comes with it. But, you know, I see a lot of these programs. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of organizations. Because I feel like they sell out once they get the money, and for the advocates, they're doing what you're supposed to. And most advocates, let me tell you something, people, we do it for free. Everything's on my dime. I've never asked for funding or anything like that, because what I've been able to do with just a couple $100 every 2 weeks, I've been able to serve my community and the people of the community. So, you know, but reentry is very complex, like I said for the third time. There's issues with it's just there's so much that goes into it, and so much that, you know, enough of us aren't speaking out about. We had a great guest last week, Joanne, and she did an amazing job on the felony, describing the felony murder rule that was adopted by California, but yet it was abolished in New England. I just find that, you know, extremely disturbing. And but good news, you know, so I have people I talk to in the prison system still, and the ones that are by this, they are going back to court. They're going under being resentenced. So I'm super excited for that, for my brothers to come home. It's about time. You know, they served, the men I talked to in prison, they served 20 years minimum. There's nobody that I know that we're all, you know, in fact, with my 20 years is nothing compared to what they've served, really. So I can only imagine what they're coming home to. And like right now we are, I'm actually mentoring a few guys that are coming out and helping them out with parole and mostly just being there for them. Majority of our formerly incarcerated and our returning citizens, we really need to start, you know, just listening to them, letting somebody be mad. You know, a lot of people have been slighted by the system. The system, in fact, that was supposed to protect a lot of us, it does not. It protects some of us, but not all of us. So, you know, a lot of us come out very angry, very disgruntled, and that's an issue. So we really got to start looking at that. Like, what can the community do to take back the power and the influence to help somebody? And I speak this all the time, is that when we help out one of the forgotten, one of the unheard, one of the neglected, just by life in general, we are giving that power back to our community, to the youth. They see this and they want to be part of it. So, you know, how we address it is that by this approach, we are taking away the gang lifestyle. We are providing the family and the support necessary for somebody to flourish into a good man or woman. And we're taking away the negative influences by saying, hey, this is not cool. Me, myself, I grew up in a drug-infested neighborhood, gang as well, and, you know, grew up with my role models were Scarface, Al Pacino, John Dillinger, you know, all the outlaws and all the mob bosses and everything else in life. And so, you know, when we look at that, what was wrong with that? Why was it that Scarface was my biggest influence in life? Why was it that these mobsters, I glorified them? And you know, I knew the outcome of what's happening. You're either dead or in prison. You know, but what was wrong with my community that I couldn't sit there and glorify the man or woman going to work for 8 to 12 hours a day providing for their family? What was wrong with glorifying and wanting to be that cop or that law enforcement or the fireman or a teacher? And the simplest answer to that is they didn't reach out. You know, they lived their life. Life moves fast out here, people. Like, I get it. I work 10, 12 hours a day, 5 days, 6 days a week. So I get it. You know, you don't have time, but we have to make time. We have this motto, it takes a village. And when I say it takes a village, because we all, with our time, invest in somebody's success or failure. And when one of our brothers or sisters go to prison, that falls on the community. Yes, it's bad choices and decisions, but the thing is that the community is also responsible. You could tell when a community knows it because they go, oh, yeah, lock him up for life. We don't want him. We want our neighborhood safe. Well, if you want your neighborhood safe, why aren't we investing into people? In the neighborhood I grew up in, I used to break in houses just to eat. I would just steal their food and play with the Nintendo or the toys. What was wrong with the neighborhood? Why couldn't they invite me over for dinner? They knew I was being neglected at home. They knew that I didn't have the proper resources of turning into a decent person. They saw the road I was going down. But instead of inviting it, they turned their back on it. And a lot has to do with, you know, whatever they were going through for whatever reason. And I'm not making excuses. I made bad choices and decisions based off of what I knew best and by my twisted and warped beliefs. But those beliefs came from somewhere. You know, when you have a returned citizen or somebody that sits there and turns their back on society and turns it into an us versus them, who is responsible for that? Especially for a child or a youth. You know, these things, you know, we don't just grow up wanting to, you know, be us versus them. We learn it. And usually through traumatic experience, through rejection, through fear, through shame or guilt. And these things need to be addressed. You know, it's just one of those things that I'm learning this stuff as I go along, and I'm seeing stuff in my own son that, you know, as I raise him with my wife, some things that he's experiencing that I did not, and a lot of things I experienced that he doesn't have to, which is a true blessing. I'm very grateful for that because nobody deserves to go through what I went through. But I'm starting to look at solutions rather than the problems. And what I've learned is that we kind of just turn a blind eye. It's not affecting us, so like, hey, let's just live our life. So I ask you guys, do you know your neighbors? Do you know what goes on in the neighborhood? Not just the crime, but what about the neglect? What about the children? And also, most importantly, what have you done to help that situation? Or have you just ignored it? If I saw a kid going through what I went through, I would probably reach out, you know, mentor, invite them, be inviting. I don't know. It's just something that's been on my mind. Legacy is actually growing from within. It's going to be one kind of a program, and I'm super grateful to be in this position. And yeah, it took me 20 years of a prison education to create it. But you know, sometimes we don't get to the promised land. We just kind of have to be part of it and guide people. But I really do want to ask the communities around to be involved. Take your power back. Don't be a victim. Don't sit there and be one of those people where the society and the government is against them. We have control over some of this stuff. So, like, we can actually you know, be assistants. We can actually do stuff for people without being judgmental and without, you know, and being more accepting. That just because somebody lives a certain lifestyle and it's not ours doesn't mean we can't be of assistance. Sometimes these, you know, we talk about in CBT beliefs, manners, and habits, you know, about traditions, people adopting certain core beliefs and warp beliefs at that, you know. And if you look at a child growing up in a home that's being where the needs aren't being met, they're going to go find those needs somewhere else, such as a gang, you know, drug addicts or whatever. Because what better than to accept the forgotten and neglected than one of their own, you know, and somebody that can empathize with that of not having those needs met. So they, you know, and they, a lot of times we take what we know best with what we have, which isn't much. And we take that and we'll, you know, we'll tug somebody along like, oh, come on, let's go. I got the solution. Like the Good Samaritan story, right? We always talk about the Good Samaritan story. You know, a guy stuck in a hole, a priest walks by, sits there and sees them. Hold on, I'll go get help. A bystander comes by, I'll go get some help. The third guy just jumps in the hole and sits there and says, you know, the guy's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Now we're both stuck. He goes, no, I've been here before. We're good. So if we don't educate, if we don't sit there and promote and give additional influences, our children are going to go to those resources. And if we don't know how to listen, if we don't know how to pay attention, or to even spot the sign, then the next generation is in trouble. So that's why it's so important for us to come together as a community for the growth of our elderly and ourselves, but the children. Because, you know, we're counting down, to be honest. I'm 40 years old. I'm counting down now. I'm not counting up. It was cool counting up to, you know, 18, 20, 30, and then you hit 40. You're like, oh, shoot. You know, and then you start waking up with arthritis. You start waking up with, you know, all of a sudden you fall in public and people aren't laughing anymore. They're asking if you're okay. So these are the things that, you know, that go through my mind is I'm counting down, my son's counting up. So what am I actually contributing to those numbers? And so I have to make sure as a parent and, you know, and as a mentor for our returned citizens, what can I contribute to your growth? What can I give you that was not there for me? And that's a dire need. A lot of times, you know, we have these twisted and warped beliefs, whether it's parenting or political beliefs or whatever, but nobody's wrong. You know, everybody, a lot of it's just opinion. People do what they can with what they have. So how do we fix and get everybody on the same page? We give them the same resources. So we are going to end the show today a little early. I got some stuff to take care of, but I did want to jump on here and at least address this issue. I had a couple people. Next week, I'm trying to get more guests. So if you would like to be a guest, just hit me up at Lawrence Drank, D-R-E-N-K. L-A-W-R-E-N-T-E, LawrenceDrink@gmail.com. And let me know, or hit me up on Facebook, Sparky Lee from Georgia. There's a picture of me and my wife. If you want to be a guest, and if you do friend request me, please, on Facebook, send me a message to let me know, like, because I get so many random friends and stuff like that, and I never accept them unless I absolutely know you. So at least send a message with that saying, hey, this is so-and-so, heard you on the radio show. You know, and if there's anything we could do for you from Legacy, we will do so. You just have to work with the busy schedule that I work. So other than that, but good news that we will be back in the prison. The prison is going to accept our program. And we will be offering one of the very first programs in CDCR, which I'm super excited about. And, of course, these are going to be board certified. So that when these youth offenders and these lifers and these LWOPs are going in front of this board, they can't sit there and they can no longer use the excuse, well, you haven't addressed your issue, because my group, my program will actually address these issues specifically. So I just want to say thank you for everybody. I'm sorry for a short show, but probably, you know, I have to hear me for a whole hour, which is probably a good thing. But I do want to say thank you for everybody for the support that you've shown me, the love and the acceptance of what I do. I'm super grateful and you know, I'm being introduced to new people every day. And I'm just grateful for the people that are in my life and for, you know, for this reentry. This is a rough thing, but if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? So I just want to say thank you for everybody. Next week, hopefully we have a guest. And then I don't know what my future is going to look like on this show, since my program is going to be on Sundays in October, you know, all day in a prison. So I don't know how I'm going to do the Sunday shows anymore. So if anybody's interested in also taking over and running your own platform on here that has to do with injustice or reentry or anything, you know, just suffering, and you want to put an awareness out there, please let me know. And I really do appreciate you. I love y'all, and have a wonderful day. Stay blessed.